Hey guys, do you work in emergency medicine, an absolutely crazy and intense environment where you see things every day that a regular person doesn't see once in their entire life? Do you feel burned out, unappreciated, like there's no one you can talk to about the things you are struggling with? Well, you are not alone. I have a bunch of real professionals with real stories here with me today that can relate to your struggles. I've struggled with burnout, discouragement, and frustration many times and still struggle with it occasionally. My name's Aaron. I've been in emergency medicine for 15 years as an EMT, paramedic, and now emergency medicine PA, and I am the host of the Practical EMS podcast. We've got some new guests with us today and some returning, so we're going to jump right in and do some introductions and talk about some awesome topics today. Any other impactful stories you guys have? Let me ask you this first. Yeah. Have you guys seen, I was going to ask Casey this, but do you have any patients you see that remind you scarily a family member that's passed? I see patients my grandma a fair amount. Every couple months I'll get someone I'm it's she looks like my grandma, has the weird affect, not an exact replica,
yeah,
right? But
yeah.
Somebody that just, man, that person really reminds me of my grandma. It's just weird. I don't know if anybody else has
did
that.
Did you like your grandma?
I did like my grandma.
Yeah, I mean, every
she was a 40-year smoker,
hell yeah.
Lovely voice.
Alvros.
Oh yeah.
That's funny.
No, I don't think I've ever had that. Not with family members.
Really?
I've had patients that really remind me of myself.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely not the family members.
Maybe I'll just cut that part out then. Maybe I'm alone in this.
It's okay, buddy.
I was curious if Casey, has seen his son, I mean, he sees
possibly.
Patients like his son, yeah. But I don't know if he really thinks they're just like him or something, All right. Any other impactful stories you guys have or good patient experiences? They don't have to be anything phenomenal.
I mean, all my stories are more of the emotional side. That you know of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one I could think of the top of my head was a 16-year-old that slit his wrist pretty good, but he actually did it good. We mm-hmm. actually had to tourniquet it because he did it pretty good.
Right.
We got the bleeding to stop. And it was only one of his arms. So we got the bleeding to stop. And then the department lieutenant was kind of being an asshole to this kid, pretty much saying that, you have so much to live for. What you tried to do was stupid. How dare you do that to your friends and your family? He was just going in on this kid. And then, but you can see the kid was just staring off in his face. He had nothing behind his eyes. And whenever I was with my old partner, he was okay at talking to those kinds of things, but I was very good at it and I still kind of am. So I started talking to the kid, and then after me more was talking, he actually just started to cry. And then I got eye contact out of him. And then, so there's some kind of connection building already just from eye connection. And then by the time we got to the hospital, I had him talking, and then we bandaged his arm up pretty good. So, we sat there, I gave him a hug, and he just bawled his eyes out. We were in the ambulance bay, and he just bawled his eyes out. So he was 16 at the time. I actually saw him, I think it was 3 years later. He was working at, I don't think it was Walmart, but I saw him there. He was a cashier. And then, his arm was obviously all stitched up and scarred by that time. But he recognized me because I was working. And he told me that after that day that he got help, he got on medications that worked and worked for him. He saw therapists. He leaned off the drugs that he was on. And he was clean and cut free ever since, that night. So that one, when he told me that, I actually started I just started crying I don't remember if it was Walmart or King Supers or something, but I literally just started crying right in front of him. And I told him I was so proud of him as a person and an individual. So that one, that's always one of those nice calls that's always stuck with me in a good way.
Yeah.
I
think it's powerful that you can really help those people that have been just because you've been in their position before. That lieutenant, maybe his intent was to help. Maybe he thought that's what that guy needed to hear. And because he's probably never been in that situation, he knows that's not what this kid needs to hear. So I think it's powerful that you can actually, speak from experience and actually say something that will make their lives a little better.
Yeah.
That's really good. One thing I ask everybody, and I didn't prepare you guys for this, but I've been asking everybody this, and Nate's probably tired of hearing it, but
what is it?
Where do you think God is in emergency medicine?
Oh, we're bringing this up again.
Yeah.
Mm.
I know it's a hard question. And if you don't want to speak on it, that's fine too. But I'm curious what everybody says, because I think it's something everybody kind of thinks of at some point. Like, I think emergency medicine can drive you to think there's not a God, and this is more evidence that there's not a God, or it can be evidence that there is a God, and it's evidence that there is. But what do you guys think?
I guess that really comes back to, like, that really puts, I mean, I'm not religious, and I'll happily say that. I'm not atheist. I think I'm agnostic. I think that's what the word is. If there is a God, that's great. If there's not, okay. But I have reasons for that, but that's a different subject. But I think that really puts people's faith in a test, especially with all the stuff that we do see, you know, because you have a 90-year-old who just came back from a cardiac arrest, and that's amazing. But then you have a 9-year-old who was just brutally assaulted with a broomstick, you know, by his dad. And you're like, how the hell can someone let that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, or you have a 41-year-old and you just caught a heart attack and she's going to be healthy with her family. But then you have a rollover of a mom who is shit-faced drunk and she just killed her 3 kids, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that really tests people's faith on, you know, God and religion, especially with this kind of job, even in the ER and, you know, and obviously on an ambulance and seeing a 911. So that's definitely a very big question. I think the biggest answer is that's where faith truly gets like tested. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's probably my best answer for that.
I think there's a thin veil between us and God in the ER, in the sense of there's so much that we don't have control over. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that just, it just happens. And whether that's God or science, or there's just things that happen that make you say, we can pour all resources into this and it's a futile attempt, or we can pour all resources in this and they can have a complete recovery.
Yeah.
There's a thin veil, and you feel it a lot. I've between the nursing home, med surg, IR, neuro IR, ER experiences, I've been at a lot of people's deaths, and I've seen a lot of people's last moments and their last breaths. And it's not the work that I do or that's around me that makes me feel like there's God in the room. It's them in the bed that convinces me there's somebody else in the room.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody else that has a say in how it goes. It's very interesting. Mm. The more deaths that I've been at, the more I'm aware that there's something else there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with the nursing homes that you just said, you know, I mean, with the amount of nursing homes I've been to, and then you get those nursing homes that don't help them at all, you know, and that you have a 70-year-old who's demented, but she's covered in her own feces and up and down with urine, you know. So it's I could definitely see how it could be hard. But then, yeah, then you get those times that it is a very nice death. You know, the family's there. Everyone's there for each other. You know, everyone's crying, but it's like almost like a happy, sad tears. And it's like a beautiful death.
There's beauty in death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you get that, like someone or something else is here. So it's, I could definitely see how it could be problematic or hard, but at the same time, like, no, there's something here, 'cause this is beauty. But like I said, I'm not religious. There's reasons behind that. So I can't really speak for the religious or, like, you know, speak on it. But I'm saying that I could definitely see that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I ran this elderly lady one time for a cardiac arrest. Her family had just checked on her. She lived alone, like totally independent. She was kicked back in a rocker, feet crossed, probably been dead for hours and hours. You know, like, we weren't going to do CPR or anything. She was rigored. And it was kind of like, well, that was just her shell. Like, clearly she left a while ago. And this is what's left. But I was like, man, I hope I die that way. She just looked peaceful. Yeah. She was old.
Yeah.
You know, she was independent, and all of a sudden she was gone.
Yeah.
I go back and forth about this for my whole life, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I don't know that I believe in God or not, but there are unexplainable things that happen in this world mm-hmm. that you could really only attribute to there being some sort of like spiritual entity. So I definitely believe in like spirituality and finding something that gives you peace as an individual person. And then there something else is out there in those moments of, you know, somebody's last moments on earth or mm-hmm. when really bad things happen. Because on the one hand, you're like, why would this terrible thing happen? Like, mm-hmm. why did I just run this traffic accident and this five-year-old's brains are on the ground and I'm stepping in them because I'm trying to help someone else, right? But then, like, maybe that was actually, like, an intervention because some other horrible things were going to happen later. And so, I don't know. Yeah. Like, the jury's out. I don't know. I've been exposed to religion and church and all that stuff for a long time. Good chunk of my life, and again, still I'm like, I don't know, I'm not convinced.
Yeah,
but I'm not unconvinced, so right. I don't know what it is, but I've always believed there's something.
Right.
I don't know.
So. Yeah, I think it's hard because I mean we've all run or seen, you know, the kid that shouldn't die, like there's just no rhyme or reason behind it. And I think for me, where I kind of find peace, because I do believe there's a God and I'm a Christian, and I think that free will just has ramifications beyond like what we really realize. And, you know, there's ramifications for things, you know, and we just don't even see the beginning of that or the end of it. And, you know, I think God uses us to, you know, intervene sometimes, and sometimes we don't get there fast enough. And it's because God doesn't intervene on everything, or else I think, you know, life would be perfect. We'd all be forced to believe in God if everything was perfect, if, mm-hmm. you know, he had obviously had his hand in everything. But that's something I, you know, struggle with periodically in emergency medicine. And that's kind of where I've come to some peace about it. It's just that this is kind of the ramifications of free will. And that's kind of what I believe. But everything you hear today from myself and my guest is opinion only. It does not represent any organizations or companies that any of us are affiliated with. The stories you hear have been modified to protect patient privacy, and any resemblance to real individuals is coincidental only. This is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice nor used to diagnose any medical or healthcare conditions. How do you guys cope with the hard stuff? I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but a lot of the podcast centers around burnout and how do you deal with seeing the hard stuff. A lot of the brand new people to medicine, be it nurses or EMTs, really struggle with like seeing their first deaths and, you know, dealing with those hard calls or the traumatic calls. What advice do you guys have for the newbie that's just encountered a hard day or a death or whatever? Like, what would you tell them to encourage them and help them keep doing the job?
Lean in. Lean into your coworkers, lean into the experience, ask questions, share your feelings. This is a whole, I don't know, I'm mid to late 30s. This generation coming up will talk. And that's healing in those experiences, is talking about them, leaning into your coworkers. This happened. This is what I saw. Why? Why did we do this? If you saw a difficult death or did a terrible call, I never, ever will stop. I might have to say like, pause, I will come back to the EMT or paramedic that brought in a patient and they were asking questions. But that follow-up is sometimes closure. You know, you get some of them that are like, well, what about HIPAA? But what about closure in order to go and do the next run and the next patient? Or if this gives them solace that they didn't miss something, that they did do everything that they could. I think sometimes when bad things happen, it's easy to shut down and close in, but really leaning in and opening up and sharing how you feel or asking the questions is huge in also preventing some of the burnout.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you guys know my answer, and I've obviously said the answer before when we've talked about this. Stay away from the substances, because I mean, you know, we're all adults here. It's very easy to go home. I always had a long day. I'm just going to have a beer. I'm just going to have a shot. You know, that stuff becomes 1 equals 2, 2 equals 3. And then alcohol and emotions, especially negative emotions, do not mix. That's a very easy way to shut down or suck start a 9 mil, sadly, but that's reality. There's nothing wrong with not being okay. It seems like, you know, this generation, or for whatever like reason, it's like if you have emotions or if you want to talk about your emotions, then, you know, you get labeled a certain way, or you're supposed to suck it up, or you're supposed to keep it down. But eventually that will blow up, you know. So again, there's nothing wrong with not being okay. If you had a call, or if you're in the ER and something happens, and it really just is not sitting with you, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking to your coworkers, you know, talking to your friends, talking to your spouse about it, or just talking. I mean, you can be in the shower and you're talking, and even if you're not talking to somebody, what you're doing is you're taking that story and then you're starting the processing phase. And then whenever you process something, then it can become easier for you to cope with it. Because the first step to coping with something is realizing that you need to cope to it and you need to process it. But like I said, stay away from the substances, because that's a very, very easy hill to go down. My opinion, anyway. Your turn.
Yeah, I agree. Just like talking about things, like with my partners, I try to be really open, like an open person where they feel comfortable that they can come and talk to me. Or even if, you know, maybe I wasn't even there, but I can offer like, hey, I know that my, you know, coworker ran this really bad call. Are you doing okay? Like, I'm here for you. I'm thinking about you. Just those little things to help whoever is going through the process, that there's somebody or something there to that they can open up to. And then if I, for me personally, like if I run something really bad, like I will talk about it. I'm lucky because I have family that I can openly talk about stuff and who understands what I'm talking about. And so that's really a good way to decompress. But then also just being willing to have those conversations and being open to the conversations. And then of course, like if I'm really stressed out, like directing that frustration and stress towards something productive. Maybe I'll go on like a 7 mile run. I don't know. I know.
Good for you, but
I can't run that. I just said like working out or like something that's not alcohol or whatever. Like I don't really drink because I don't want to go down that path. And I think that anybody is susceptible. So I just stay away from it.
Yeah.
And I've always been that way. So yeah, I don't know. That's what I try to do.
Yeah, I think that's good. I like the talking to process stuff too, even if you're not talking to anybody. I think verbalizing stuff like makes you make sense of how you're feeling about it, if you have to put words to it. Because you just, you know, you feel like shit, but that's kind of...
Well, why do I feel like
sometimes that's
shit?
It. Yeah, yeah. So, but if you're forcing yourself to verbalize it, I think that's a good technique for people that aren't ready to make the jump of talking to somebody about it. Or, and we've talked about therapy and how that has its role certainly too, especially if you're not getting to the place mentally where you need to get with coworkers. And a lot of places now are having peer support and all these good structures in place, I think, for people. And even like some of the paramedic program and ENT programs have structure in place for when the students first see a death and, you know, encounter the stuff for the first time in their careers, you know, like they're tracking these students that have seen stuff, which I think is great, because a lot of them have no idea how to handle it. And how would you until you've encountered a lot and had the experience?
If the only experience you have is your own family. And then, you know, some of the stuff we do is pretty traumatic in effort to save. I mean, sometimes I've even just grabbed, like when we're stuck in the trauma bays, you doing okay? Like yesterday was rough. I know we've had a few rough goes in the last year with some events where it's, you know, even if you aren't on shift, sometimes that's even a little bit more helpful.
Ignore that.
To be like, you know, hey, I wasn't here. How are you feeling about it all? You don't even have to ask about the event, but I've checked in with a few that way on some of the hard stuff is like, how do you feel about it? Some of them are like, well, it really freaking sucked, but we did everything.
Yeah.
Or some of them are like, oof, that one I took home that night. And then, you know, and it's hard. I don't think compartmentalizing is the right word. I don't think it's healthy. Mm-mm. But the way you show up at home versus at work might look different. Mm-hmm. But sometimes just checking in on your friends.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, even people that you don't think would need that, everybody needs that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody needs something. So nobody is immune to having that tough call or not being able to deal with that tough call, whether it comes out. Like, if you can't talk about it, it's still going to come out. Like, maybe you're more, you know, short-tempered, mm-hmm. or, you know, you just can't deal with, like, everyday life as easily as you once right. did, which that kind of goes along with the burnout part. But yeah. also, like, if something is really bothering you that much, it can come out in other ways. Yeah. So just checking on everyone is important,
yeah.
really.
Yeah, I think it's easy to kind of brush it under the rug. And then, like you said, like, you don't really necessarily feel any one particular call, but then you're like, why is life so hard right now? Mm. Just because you had a shitty shift.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a lot of those where it's like, there's not one event or one patient. It was just a slew of difficult patients and maybe some deaths thrown in there and maybe some unexpected ones. And then there's not any one particular patient that I took hard. It's just the whole sum of everything that was like just difficult, especially when you're working several days in a row, I think is when mm-hmm. it's hard. You need like a day to recover and do something non-medicine related. If you guys got any value out of this today, if it resonated with you, encouraged you, the only thing I ask is you subscribe to the show, give a 5-star rating and review, which will help a ton. I don't make any money on the podcast, and it does cost money to do it. So if you want to support the show, go to practicalems.com, join the email list, and subscribe on any podcast player. You can find the clip stuff on YouTube as well under Practical EMS. And we will see you guys next time.